I'm waiting for the intro.
You're going to fucking hit
no,
me.
No,
in
no,
face.
No, no, no. I'm not going to.
All right, fine.
No.
All right. Well, then, hi, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously, but who does look real threatening when he puts a hand up in front of the camera. I don't like that.
It's a little camera and a big hand.
Yes. Well, everyone, this is a live recording for us, so this is going to be a fun one. So we are here with I'm checking the numbers. It's 3,000 of our biggest fans. It's amazing. I can't believe it. They're all joining us. Now, you're not going to hear them because they're under strict instruction to not do that.
Right. They're all calling here in from the same warehouse in Russia, which seems like a weird coincidence, but, you know,
This is how, you know, the algorithms are going to show the show to.
Yeah, the algorithms help us too. Like, we really needed to refine ourselves down to who do you want to communicate with? Oh, I'll tell you who I want to communicate with. 3,000 Russian women in a basement of a warehouse.
Just like I did in college. So we have some folks here, and we had a nice chat before the show. We'll have a nice chat after the show. If you want to join us for the next live show, because we'll be doing these every few months, just make sure you're following us on social media. You can sign up for our email, or of course you can join Ghost Plus, because if you're in Ghost Plus, you get to do this for free, which is the best. I think possible.
I get to do it for free.
Yeah, because you paid for Ghost Plus.
Yeah, exactly.
So Pat, you got, if you're going to record tonight, you got to pay $5 or become a member. Shiftless idiot. How's your weekend? Anything we should
what was the weekend? God, way too busy. Just way too busy. Too much stuff. Way too much stuff.
How much stuff?
Like two things every single day, that kind of a weekend. It's too much.
Too much.
Too much. But stuff. But it started off with the circus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which way? Well, you know, famously they abuse animals at circuses, so go on and tell us how fun that was. So,
and I thought they were gonna do that too, but they didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of circus?
Seemed kind of expensive for them not to do that. But
what am I paying for?
No, it was a fun circus. They had like five or six big acts. They had, you know, the big acrobat act, you know, where they jump and they spin from the trapeze. What else did they do? They had two enormous horses that they rode around, you know.
Okay.
Stood on them. What else happened? I don't know. They serve beer as well. I don't know if you can tell.
I assume that was your deal breaker.
That was pretty much it. Yeah, they flagged me down from the street, and they're like, hey, you know, if you come in, all the beer you can drink. And that was the only, well, no, and then we went to see the air show on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was good. How was yours? I assume just shoving crap in boxes and...
It started off that way, and then on Wednesday, I got a real severe stomach flu, actually.
Oh, cool.
And it was neat. I had stomach flu for 4 days. Yesterday was the first day I was kind of feeling a little bit normal again. I didn't eat for 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Every day I tried to eat one thing, and it immediately, I threw it up.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool.
Did you feel
8 pounds last
that's
week.
That's fantastic.
I'm feeling great. Now. So that was not ideal. And then today's okay. I'm feeling much better though, but I'm not drinking today because I'm eating again, but bodies are so stupid. Bodies are the dumbest thing. Here's what I have eaten food. I'm willing to say every single day of my life. Mm-hmm. Right. Until Tuesday. So for like almost 41 years, I've been eating every day. My stomach knows what food is and what to do with it.
Right. Sure. Down.
No problems.
Right.
Down.
Down.
It's
down not a hard job.
It's a very easy job. Very easy. Squeeze and push.
I think like pretty much everything in the body is down. Right? Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Blood
yeah, it's
is
almost
sometimes
all down.
Up.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. But almost everything else is down.
Need some up blood.
Yeah. Anything else goes up. Problem.
Yes. So there's one thing. And to be fair to the stomach flu, some of it did go rapidly down, so it wasn't all up.
It was just on turbo mode. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, so today I'm eating again, so I'm hungry, so I'm eating, and I have like one bite of a thing, and my stomach's like, oh, I don't know. Ooh, I don't know. Is it a salad? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we can process this. We're
going to
hurt
poison
for a real long time.
Yeah.
So my stomach has forgotten how to do everything that it has done for its entire life.
Cool.
Quite frankly. And so that's not as fun. But otherwise, I'm feeling great.
Good.
Feeling great.
Yeah. And you'll probably start looking better, what, by next week, you think?
I have no idea. And then I was outside in the sun today, and Ryan pointed out when we started here, my face, I got a sunburn. Like, you can't really see unless you're under ring light.
Yeah.
Then, then you can see it a lot. And so everything's going great here, mm-hmm. and I am going to see, I'm going to go to Ryan's house tomorrow, just in case I'm still sick. Mm-hmm. Just that'll be my going away present. Ryan, don't shake your head. Yes,
wonderful.
That's Ryan.
No, I mean, you look like the end of a podcast episode right now. I mean, it's kind of exciting. You really do. So
great. No alcohol needed.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, shoot, we got a long one today, actually. So we should probably dive in. Are you ready, Patrick, to hear a ghost story?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank God, because these people would be real upset if the answer was no. Yeah, I'm going to do Jeremy's job for him tonight. Ready?
Dong!
Freeland Excellent. Oscar Stanley. Freeland Oscar Stanley was born on June 1st, 1849 in Kingfield, Maine. And he was a twin.
Oh.
One of a pair. One of two.
Oh, not the... Okay.
Not the big...
Not the baseball player. Okay, it's fine. Okay.
Not at newborn age.
Okay.
Now, I know that their mascot does have that giant baseball head, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that the Twins, or is that the old Cincinnati?
That's one? Every baseball team, I think, has like a giant
that's right.
baseball.
No, the Mets have Mr. Met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Twins have Mr. Twin, I'm sure.
Cardinals have Mr. Card.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's a twin. His brother's name is Francis Edgar Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so their grandfather, go with me on this a second. Their grandfather was a man named Liberty Stanley.
Okay.
He had to be insufferable.
Right.
Now, Liberty's wife, Liberty, by the way, another Paw Patrol dog. Before we jump on, I'm glad this comes up because I obviously a couple weeks ago we talked about the weaponization of Paw Patrol and how it's a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching a different Paw Patrol movie the other day. And they actually addressed how they get funding for all the vehicles. It was amazing. Would you like to take a guess?
Again, I'm just imagining they have a contract for like 24 episodes. And they're like, God, we're stuck on 23. I have nothing. Okay, what about like a procedural drama about the funding of the group? I don't know. Whatever. Just fine.
Is a little sideways wink toward the merch. They sell merch. They sell Paw Patrol merch, and that's how they fund their weapons of death. And so, I don't know. I guess we're not selling enough merch because we don't have any weapons of death yet.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Yet.
No.
We'll get there. Okay. So, anyway, Liberty's wife. So, Liberty's the grandfather. This is line four. Liberty's wife, Hannah. Now, she died after the birth of their seventh child.
Mm-hmm.
And so Liberty, of course, is like, shit, I can't raise seven kids. Absolutely not. The super relatable human. So Liberty distributes the children.
Wait, look.
What?
Like, what?
everyone gets one.
Okay. I mean, I assume raffle rules, right? Everyone puts their name in.
Yeah. Yeah, you pick the your card gets drawn, then you get to pick the smart one.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm imagining all the kids are up on like a cafeteria table in the front of the bingo hall.
Yeah.
And you come up with your ticket, and you're like, yeah, I had ticket four. Like, okay, well, which one do you want?
I don't know who's left. I don't know.
How much do you eat?
A lot.
No, not you. How much do you eat? Oh, nothing at all. I haven't eaten since Tuesday. All right. You're on my list.
Yeah, so he spreads his children around. He gives one to everyone. Everyone gets a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He knows at least seven people, and all of them get one child. So Liberty Jr. was adopted by Liberty.
He gave away Liberty Jr.? You gotta be kidding.
Cold.
That's like serious. Every single one of them. He's just like, you know, I'm not fit to do this.
You can't keep one. You can't give away six and be like. But you know what? You got me, a little scamp. You can stay.
I do
love you, okay.
I mean, the other six don't know. You know, they don't know that he, like, stopped the raffle one pick too soon.
Oh, we ran out of tickets? Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, sorry, everyone. I wanted to get rid of Liberty Jr. The door closed
back there, and it did, and get in the car, Liberty Jr. We gotta go.
So Liberty Jr. is adopted by Liberty Sr.'s brother.
Okay.
So his uncle gets him. His uncle drafts him.
Yeah.
In the 1849 draft pick.
But then he gets to be the uncle, right?
Yes, that's right.
So
a little switcheroo.
I mean,
here's what I'll say.
A little bit of a hack.
I'm not gonna say anything about being a bit of a hack. Yeah. Uncle is a good gig.
Nobody ever gets mad if your uncle doesn't show up to like Thanksgiving. You know?
No, actually, we get pretty excited if my uncle doesn't show up to Thanksgiving.
You get to pick and choose whichever holidays you can sober up for, and everybody loves you when you do show up. So, okay, yeah, Liberty Senior, okay, I'm getting it now.
There's a method to his madness for sure. So Liberty Junior is adopted by Solomon Stanley. It's Liberty Senior's brother, Solomon Stanley. Solomon says, "I'll take this boy, but I'm going to rename him." And he renames, and I think Liberty's like 9 or something, but he renames him from Liberty Stanley to Solomon Liberty Stanley.
Oh, okay.
Huh, fair enough. Stamp on it. So Solomon Liberty Stanley, who is Liberty Jr.
Right.
Was. He grows up. Mm-hmm. Was, correct. He grows up now, and he gets married to a woman named Afia French. Mm-hmm. They eventually have 7 children who reach adulthood.
Okay. Very biblical. Very biblical.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. God said 7 is a holy number. Stop trying to have more. I will kill all of them.
God said, how many fingers are left on your hands? This many. Okay. That's as many kids as you can have. That's it.
I have spoken.
Also, be more careful with the hammers, you guys.
So they have 7 kids who reach adulthood. 2 of them are these twins, Freeland and Francis. Mm-hmm. That's how we get to Freeland Stanley. So the Stanley family, now they're not wealthy, but they do value education quite highly. So they worked really hard to give their kids all the education that they could. And science, poetry, and music were encouraged from a young age, which I don't think was particularly typical in the mid-1800s. To give you an idea of how Solomon kind of viewed the whole vibe his family is putting off, here are some of the names that he gave his children, besides Freeland and Francis. Mm. John Calvin Stanley, for a famous Protestant reformer. Mm-hmm. Isaac Newton Stanley, pretty big swing. And Ulysses Grant Stanley.
Mm.
So that's fair. That's where he's kind of nudging his children.
That's fair. Yeah.
And you named yours June.
Right.
How close is she to reaching her aspirations of being a month?
She is 5, so she'll need to be at least 28 before she can be a month, I guess. So
I think she's got to be specifically 30, right?
Well, yeah, but you know, I don't want to hold her back.
That's very progressive.
I don't want to freak her out, because imagine like if she'd been thinking her whole life, like someday I'll be 30 and that'll be June. And then the day before 31st birthday, she's like, what am I now?
What is it all about?
Who's that knocking at the door? What, you know,
And you tell her, hey, you know what? There's months on other planets. Some of them are very long. Maybe that's you, babe.
I do like back then that they named kids after just like big shit that was going on. Like the Liberty Senior, probably born right around, you know, the American Revolution.
Freedom.
Yeah. Sure. So they're like, you know what? Your name's Liberty. You know, your name's Paul Revere now. You know?
Your name's COVID-19 now. Yeah.
Your name's Musket. So.
So I feel like this Solomon, though, was pretty high maintenance. But Freeland and Francis, so the twins start their first business together at age 9.
Okay.
Which is classic. And their first business was they refined and bottled and sold their own maple sugar.
Oh, okay.
And here's an interesting quote about their business. They use their hard-earned money to purchase wool cloth for school suits and Benjamin Greenleaf's National Arithmetic, a book of equations that they quickly completed.
Hello, nerds.
That's right. What I have to say about that. Have I mentioned how excited I am to have access to my soundboard back?
You've mentioned it.
Hello, nerds.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got more. So they're doing this at 9. Now, at the age of 11, they learned how to make violins.
Okay. Anything to stay out of the coal mine. That's what I'm hearing right now. Anything.
Hey, man. I'm in.
It's like staying out of the draft at that point. It's like anything to stay above ground, guys.
Absolutely. At the age of 20, the brothers go off to college at Western State Normal School, which was not a front for anything, totally above board, very chill university. Nothing to see here.
That's actually that's the name they give a Gloria's Gifted program. So that's kind of weird if you think of it. And here's how to have a conversation with somebody. Oh, curious. I don't think I'll be doing that.
I won't talk to those people. So Freeland finishes. They split ways a little bit during school. Freeland finishes his education. He becomes headmaster of a high school in Mechanic Falls, Maine. Mm-hmm. And this is where he meets Flora Jane Record Tileston.
Okay.
Who is described as a teacher at the school and, quote, a pianist of some competency.
One of her names is Record. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
Record. Okay. So again, whatever the big invention of the day.
Record.
Yeah, even so. But, you know, they invent records. And, like, you know what? That's what your name is.
Yep.
Yeah. And your name is Locomotive. And your name is Cotton Gin.
And your name is Locomotive Crash. You've just invented. And boy, is it fun. Let's see. So they were married. Those two were married in 1876. Now, in 1881, Freeland was struck with tuberculosis. Now, his older brother, Solomon Liberty, not
Liberty
Solomon
Jr.
Liberty, the dad, Solomon right. Jr. Solomon mm. Liberty Jr.
Right.
Solomon Liberty Freeman Jr. Mm-hmm. He had just died of tuberculosis.
Oh.
Like right when Freeland learns that he has tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. So Freeland is like, oh no, I don't like this. It's not good. So Freeland comes to believe that if he's going to survive, that survival is going to depend on a less sedentary life.
Mm.
Now,
like a couch to 5K type thing, but for tuberculosis. Yeah,
exactly like that. Now, this sedentary life that he wants to get away from, I will remind you, is starting a business of making maple syrup at 9.
Age 9, right.
And making violin at age 11, and et cetera. So he's like, I got to get busy.
I know what to get rid of tuberculosis. Never resting again. That'll certainly do it. That's how the healthiest people live.
I've got to say, in his defense, the people who went down to that cave, I don't think a lot of them came out.
Very so sedentary. Very sedentary lifestyle. In a cave.
Very sedentary. Very sedimentary. Oh, shoot, my
oh no, she's on the you other fat fingered thing. The God button. Damn it. Well, what are you gonna do?
Well, anyway, Jeremy, can you put in a rim shot there? That'd be great.
Hey, Jeremy, please don't.
You know, let's take a poll in the chat. If you want to hear a rim shot there, then say yes. And if you don't, then please leave. So he wants to lead a less sedentary life to save himself from tuberculosis. So he quits his job and turns to manufacturing.
Yes. Where only the most virile people spend their time.
And I think the thing that's best for your lungs, it's one of the top 10. For mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah.
Factory work. He opens the Stanley Practical Drawing Set Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And now that business was destroyed by a fire after 1 year. So that's kind of that's Freeland's path. Now, meanwhile, while this is all going on, Freeland's twin, Francis, he had dropped out of college to open a portrait studio. Painting first, but then he starts experimenting with photography. And after Freeland's company burns down, Francis is like, hey, I know. Let's go to business together again. Let's make dry plates together.
What?
I think that's what Freeland said. It's a photography thing. I I did, and I did read what it is, mm-hmm. and I tried to learn more about it. It's very boring.
I kind of figured as much.
There's no humor there for this podcast.
So I'm going to assume when you say dry plates, you mean like porcelain plates with kitty cats on them that you put up in the kitchen.
And then you photograph and spend your life getting the perfect photo of those plates. Absolutely. So nothing to do with the story other than the fact that they did a really great job, and they made a hell of a lot of money. Mm. They made a fortune. So they move the operation to Watertown, Massachusetts. And when they do, they really take over the town. They both build huge houses for themselves. Then they buy summer houses. In 1897, they bought a bunch of land and they built the Hunnewell Club, which is, quote, the seat of a social organization for their friends and neighbors. Which leads me to ask, hey, Ryan, you're still here. How come you've never built me a social organization?
I mean, we're in the middle of doing that right now, aren't we?
Thank you. I couldn't have said it. See? This is why we're always on the same page. I could not have said it better myself.
I don't like where you said it, but what I would really like is a monument to that, like a building where we can go and we can sit and we can. I guess that's kind of your apartment, Ryan.
Mm. It's a little bit like, but also you have a new place. We'll have it in.
No, that's different. You can't come there. Ryan's gone. So they build a Honeywell Club, and the building has a ballroom, it's got billiard tables, and it has bowling alleys.
Oh, so three B's.
Yeah. So things are going really well for the Stanley brothers is really the point here. Like they are truly like they're really killing it. Now next to this new factory in Watertown is a bicycle factory.
Ah, the fourth B, of course.
And Francis becomes fascinated by bikes. So he tells his wife, you got to try one. It's great. It's the best thing ever. Babe, got to get on this bike. Now, his wife falls off immediately. Uh-huh. She's fine.
Yeah. I'm sure she's fine.
Yeah. She doesn't know what it means to ride a bike.
Yeah. I'm sure they invented helmets first and then bikes, right?
I mean, here's what I'll say. Those bonnets that you know she was wearing, that's a lot of protection. And the bustles, you've never been safer on a bike than you were in 1872.
You didn't realize you fell off the bike. You're left like sitting in your living room, like, am I still on the bike? I don't know. Hard to tell.
So she falls off immediately and swears she will never ride again. She has way less perseverance than my 2-year-old. She's out. No more bikes. So Francis tells her, never you mind, Gusty. Which is her name. I will build something so that we can ride together in safety and comfort. Because of this, he begins to build an automobile.
Oh, like a double bike.
Like a double bike, like two sideways bikes going forward together. Mm-hmm. And this becomes Francis's obsession. He goes real deep into it. Mm-hmm.
Does he come up with a better name than you did, or is he still going with that double sideways bike?
Well, he comes up with a different name.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm prepared to say it's better. I guess we'll let history tell. So because he is such a big nerd, he makes a great car. And then this gets Freeland really excited too. And he's like, oh, maybe we just make cars now. Maybe that's our thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Got to stay busy because if I don't, I will die. Mm-hmm.
I think we've saturated the market on kitty cat plates, and I don't really know if I want to go back down to the coal mine. So,
let's see. Where are we here? So they shift all their attention to building new steam-powered engine cars.
Oh, wow.
They start a new company called the Stanley Motor Carriage Company, and this is where they build what will become known as Stanley Steamers. Not the carpet cleaner.
The carpet cleaning company?
That's different. No, that's a different. That's different. It is confusing. Yeah, I feel like there's probably some sort of IP lawsuit.
Everybody sued everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was pretty Stanley Steamer, the carpet cleaner, got their names. They kind of lifted the name from Stanley Steamer cars, which for a long time were really, really popular. Mm-hmm. You just take my word for it.
Sure. Why not?
You notice that Ryan has now removed himself from video also, so I can't call on him. His feelings are really hurt that he can't come to my new house. Anyway, so Now, Stanley steamers, oh yeah, they're a huge deal, but they're also super boring, so we're not going to get into them a lot. But just again, things are going really great. Mm-hmm. They're super rich, mm-hmm. and Freeland has tuberculosis.
Yeah, yeah. Good. They invented a car that you have to keep on fire all the time or it won't go.
Yep.
Yeah. And they have tuberculosis, so everything's coming up roses here.
Your car is not boiling, it's not running, which is great. So in 1903, Freeland's tuberculosis comes back with a vengeance, and it is very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that maybe working yourself to death is not a good way to not die. So it's very serious. His doctor tells him, you don't have long to live, mm-hmm. so make your final arrangements now.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor tells Freeland, if you want to survive this, like the only thing I can think maybe you could do, you got to go out, find some dry air. Lots of sunlight.
Mm, okay.
Right, clear the lungs. So an acquaintance of Freeland's says, hey, man, I know where you should go. You should go to Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
And that acquaintance who told him that was named John Brisbane Walker.
Oh, our friend.
For 10 mm-hmm. iTag points, Patrick, do you know which episode we talked about John Brisbane Walker?
You know, I don't.
Negative 10 to you. I bet Jen is just screaming into the chat right now.
Yeah, we'll let her do that for a little while.
Yeah, it sounds pretty fun. It was Red Rocks episode, and in that episode we actually mentioned Freeland Stanley. I think we mentioned him as F.O. Stanley, but I think we also mentioned the Stanley steamer in that episode.
That sounds familiar.
So thanks for paying attention, I guess. You know what, Ryan, you're back in. You can come, Patrick. You're on probation. So Brisbane Walker tells him to go to Denver. So Freeland packs his things, and mm-hmm. in March he moves to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
They move into a hotel immediately getting off the train. And then Freeland goes to see Dr. Charles Bonney, who is the preeminent American expert on tuberculosis.
Hmm.
And Bonney's like, hey, number one, move out of that fucking hotel, you idiot. You have tuberculosis. Like, oh yeah.
Oh.
So they rent a house in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
But by June, he's still not feeling better. And actually, he's a little worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doctor is then he's like, man, I don't know. More fresh air, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, can you find maybe more sunlight? Like, I don't know. And Freeland wants to try anything. So they head up into the mountains.
Mm.
They go up into the Rockies.
Get closer to the sun. Makes sense. Sure.
Yep. Yep. Very fresh up there.
Mm-hmm.
And especially back then, again, this was wilderness at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they rent a small cabin in what is now Estes Park.
Oh, beautiful area.
Wonderful area.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at this point, I mean, still beautiful. Also, there's nothing there. So by the end of the summer, though, Freeland's health was way better.
Hmm.
And Freeland's like, well, shit, this place is great.
Yeah.
I love it here.
I always thought we needed penicillin. Turns out, not alone.
Seem to get away from every human we've ever known. So he's like, we should come here every summer. So they do. And so they buy the land. They buy land in Estes Park, and they build themselves a summer home.
Mm.
This home has 4 bedrooms. So it's not, you know, it's not a, mm-hmm. it's not a mansion.
Right. Sure. But still, you're building it when you have tuberculosis. So you can only kind of go so far here.
I mean, I don't think he's building it. So... When you have tuberculosis, you're pretty good telling people still to do stuff. Yeah, 4 bedrooms. Let's see, huge living areas, a modern kitchen, a billiard room in the basement, and a detached garage with a violin workshop. And also...
I was so glad when we bought this house that it had the violin workshop kind of off to the side.
We've been looking for literal decades, and we have never found a violin workshop off to the side.
It's surprisingly loud work, you know. It's
The garage also had a turntable so that the steam car could exit without reversing.
Sure. Probably hadn't invented that part yet.
It's like the Batmobile. Yeah. You know, it spins around and you go out. And Freeland calls the house Rockside. Just so you have it here is a picture of that house today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bunch of rocks at the bottom. Yeah. Makes sense.
Right by the side of that.
Mm-hmm.
Rocks.
Makes sense.
Any questions about the house?
No. Looks like a house. Like a good house.
Yeah.
Got an upstairs, solid got a downstairs.
Cute, adorable little summer cabin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Accused over a little summer cabin the size of my neighborhood. Sure.
Yep. Great. All right. So that is their house. So by 1907, Freeland and his wife Flora, they're like, you know what? We really like it here. We should come out here even more. Maybe even stay here. But they were a little bored because there's not a lot of fun things to do out there. So here is a quote: "Not content with the rustic accommodations, lazy pastimes, and relaxed social scene of their new home, Stanley resolved to turn Estes Park into a resort town."
Mm.
So that same year, 1907, they begin construction on a brand new hotel. The hotel is meant to cater to wealthy urbanites who want to come fuck up the natural beauty of the Rocky Mountains with their cyber trucks. Now, at this point, Estes Park, again, total wilderness. In the middle of that wilderness, guests found a palatial hotel with a fully electric kitchen and steam laundry, a hydraulic elevator, electric lights and telephone, and 48 guest rooms.
Ooh.
With one bathroom for every pair of rooms.
Oh, wow.
So he builds a monster of a hotel.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. I really appreciate him putting all that money into it, and you still have to shit in your neighbor's toilet. That's really helpful. Yeah. That's
kind of you get to, you know? I don't know if you know how rich people live, but I've been watching a lot of Real Housewives lately, and I think it's a bonus to be able to shit in your neighbor's room.
Yeah. And they clearly know how tuberculosis gets passed at this point, too. So that's really important.
Yeah. Check into a hotel and shit in other people's rooms. Let's see. It even had a maid and a cooking staff in professional uniforms, which is not something all wildernesses had. Guests at the hotel could play golf. They could go bowling. They could ride horses. They could play billiards, and they could also go to concerts at the concert hall that Freeland built nearby.
Oh, wow.
He even built a 12-seat model of one of his Stanley steamers so he could transport people to and from the hotel. So he's really going for it. To power the hotel, Freeland built the Fall River Hydro Plant, which brought electricity to Estes Park for the first time ever.
Man, that's an industrious dude.
He will die if he stops. You'll recall.
He's like Jason Statham. He's like, I have to keep inventing.
When I mentioned the dry plates, I did mention, because when I said he made a fuck ton of money off that, I mean, he made a fuck ton of money
obviously
off the dry plates. And then the Stanley steamers also, like, this man has just so much money.
Yeah.
It's hard to overstate.
Yeah. He's got hydroelectric dam money. I don't know if anybody I know has hydroelectric dam money.
I had a flood in my basement the other day.
Yeah.
And that's about as close as I got. So I don't have it. Freeland opens his hotel in 1909, and he decides to call it the Dunraven.
Okay.
Which is a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
You don't like it?
I mean, Dun kind of reminds you of Dunny, so that's not great.
Yeah, but Raven, anything with Raven in it.
Sure, yeah. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you call it?
Probably not Dunraven. I don't know. Mount Doom. Yeah, probably Mount Doom.
I was going to say like Dark Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is why we don't have a lot of money.
No one lets me name hotels anymore.
So he calls it the Dunraven, but everyone else there is like, no. Oh, we love you so much. You can't call it that. Mm. And 180 people get together. And I don't know how many people are even around at this point. But 180 people get together and they sign a buckskin petition asking him to name the hotel for himself.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And he says, okay, I acquiesce. And thus the Stanley Hotel was born.
I think I know this one.
I think you might have alluded to this one by accident 2 minutes into this. Now I mentioned this hotel had electricity throughout, right? And that was great. And it was a huge selling point. But this says in 2011. I don't think that's right. It's probably 1911. Let's make a quick note there. I think in 1911, the valley experienced a flood and the electricity went out because of that flood. The hydropower goes down. Everything gets wrecked. So the electricity goes out for the first time. So Freeland doesn't like that. So he decides to install an auxiliary gas lighting system just in case, just for backup.
Okay. Yeah.
In case it goes down.
Yeah. To convince people that electricity didn't go out.
Yes. Yeah. Wink. So he installs a new gas lighting system in every room. And on June 25th, which is it's one day after the gas pipes had been filled for the first time. Mm-hmm. The head chambermaid, Elizabeth Wilson, is doing her rounds. Now, one of the cool things about natural gas is that unless you actively change this, it doesn't have an odor.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Now, that's important.
The story gets really exciting in a moment, and we get to go over the history of methane.
Because now we know we should make it smell like rotten eggs, so if you have a leak. Mm-hmm. Back then, they were just like, I don't know, light a match, see how it's going, huh? And so when Elizabeth Wilson gets to room 217, there is no way for her to know that there was a gas leak inside and had been for a full day, and the gas had been collecting in that room mm-hmm. for about 24 hours. Now, it's evening time, mm-hmm. so she's walking around with a lit candle.
Right, of course, as you do.
As you do. Mm-hmm. She opens the door, she walks into the room, and the explosion is massive.
Pretty big. Yeah.
It destroys about 10% of the whole hotel.
Mm. Is she okay?
Let's check.
She is reduced to atoms, it says. That doesn't sound right.
The shadow of her on the stone suggests no. One observer of this explosion reported seeing a bathtub launch into the air and fly over the hotel.
Hmm.
So it's pretty big boom.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Probably big.
Yep. And Wilson herself, she was blown through the floor. Sorry, that's not door. That's floor. She was blown through the floor.
Okay.
And she was found in the dining room below.
Uh-huh.
Both of her ankles are broken, but she is alive.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she's also very badly burned.
Well.
I should state.
Yeah. In the ankles.
yeah. Fire famously only doesn't get your strong bones.
Right, sure.
Only gets you where the bones are weak. So people don't know this, but if you've been drinking a lot of milk your whole life, you can just walk into a fire.
Oh, absolutely.
And you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a coma for a while, so that's not great, but she did get better. And she actually returned to work at the Stanley 2 years later.
Hmm.
And kept on trucking along. Hmm. But it was an incredibly traumatic experience for her.
Right. Did they give her like a flashlight at that point or something? Just anything else besides?
They give her a backup candle. In case that first one explodes again. We still, got to get your hours in.
They actually gave her one of those like Acme packs of dynamite with the wick slowly burning that she's brought from room to room. It's kind of light her way.
13 years later, in 1926, Freeland sells the hotel to the Stanley Corporation.
Mm.
Which is a private company that was established to manage his assets in Estes Park.
Yeah, the tax dodge. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and he wants out. But without Freeland's fortune to support the operating costs, the corporation soon filed for bankruptcy. So Freeland then, speaking of tax dodge, mm-hmm. buys it back at half the price.
Yeah. This is somewhat common. Yep.
And again, this is why you and I don't have money. We don't do this. We should.
Hmm.
Let's see. But he sells it again in 1930 to a Denver hotel guy named Roe Emery. Roe is the owner until 1947. From there, the hotel changes hands every few years. And right about that time, guests start reporting something strange about room 217.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, that it is haunted by Elizabeth, the chambermaid. She had died years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
People reported having their things moved around while they were sleeping.
Like tidied up, I would assume, right?
Yes.
Yes. Like you wake up and there's one of those like towel swans sitting on your chest looking at you. And you're like, well, that's not right.
It's kind of creepy, but kind of beautiful. Elizabeth is also an old-fashioned kind of ghost. She didn't appreciate it when unmarried couples would sleep in the bed together.
Mm.
And so many such couples who were sleeping there in sin reported feeling a cold force lying down between them while they slept.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't sound like disapproval to me.
Sounds like that three-way clap Ryan was talking about before we started recording. And then sometimes they would wake up to see the man's things were all packed and the luggage was by the door.
Oh.
Ready to go. So we'll get back to the history in a second, but just to note, Elizabeth is the most popular ghost at the Stanley, but she's by no means the only ghost. There are a bunch. For example, the lobby staircase there has gotten the nickname the Vortex because it is, quote, a tornado of spiritual energy, sort of a paranormal portal for all the ghosts that visit the hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's nice if you're a ghost, you don't have to stay there.
Sure.
Ghosts can check in too and check out. I like that. In that stairwell, there are cold spots on the stairs, and many guests will report feeling dizzy as though something has just walked right through them. And of course, as with my basement, there have been orbs on the stairwell. Can't have a haunting without orbs. And the ghosts of Mr. and Mrs. Stanley themselves have been seen standing on the staircase, holding hands and watching everyone just scurry around below. Let's see. There are ghost children running around the fourth floor.
Mm-hmm.
They can be heard laughing and playing, having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Closet doors tend to open and shut all on their own there. And years ago, the fourth floor served as lodging for female employees and their children. And some of those children are still there. Also on the fourth floor, room 428 is haunted by a cowboy.
How do they know it's a cowboy exactly? I'm not sure.
Mustache.
Mustache. Okay, that makes sense.
That's it. And he appears on the corner of the bed. You see the mustache, you feel the mustache, and you're like, yeah, that's cowboy. This is thought to be the spirit of Rocky Mountain Jim Nugget. No, that's not spelled.
That would be a better
name. No, that's autocorrect. Rocky Mountain Jim Nugent. The English explorer Isabella Bird, who I think we've all definitely heard of before and did not need to research.
Is this one of these jazz people you want me to know about?
It's all jazz, baby. They're all jazz. The English explorer Isabella Bird once wrote about Nugent because he led her and some friends through an expedition through the mountains. She wrote about him, quote, a broad, thickset man. I know I've read that word before and I know how it's pronounced for sure. Stop asking me questions. A broad, thickset man about the middle height, tawny hair and thin, uncared for curls fell from under his hunter's cap and over his collar. One eye was entirely gone, and the loss made one side of the face repulsive, while the other might have been modeled in marble. Of his genius and chivalry to women, there does not appear to be any doubt. But he is a desperate character and subject to ugly fits when people think it best to avoid him.
Oof. She sounds like she's a bit smitten, is what it sounds like to me. Yeah.
I think someone's in love. There is also an old ice house next to the hotel, which is now a museum. There's a ghost there that tends to show up as a blurry figure in photos when you take them in the building.
Don't they all?
Most of them do. And there was once also an actual pet cemetery outside the hotel. And those three little guys, some of them are still haunting the Stanley Hotel today.
Boy, that's like the worst vacation ever. Like you drag the family dog all the fucking way to Colorado to spend a week in the hotel. And you're like, oh, damn it. Was that grapes? Did you feed him grapes? Was that, oh, son of a bitch. You know we can't have grapes.
Counterpoint. Now you don't have to drive him all the way back, and that car ride is going to be a lot more comfortable. The two most famous pet ghosts there. Cassie is a golden retriever who wanders around the campus there, and Comanche is a cute, fluffy white cat.
Okay.
So, and there are more ghosts. There are many more ghosts, but we do not have the time. But with all these hauntings, people don't really want to stay at the hotel, is the point. So like 40s, 50s, 60s, like people are like, I don't think so.
Lots of other options up here.
Oh,
I could sleep in my car.
Could sleep standing against that tree. I'm good. So with all, let's see, revenue is nothing. Like no one's coming to the hotel. Revenue's dropping. No one's interested in investing because it's a haunted hotel in the woods. Everyone's like, I don't think so. And by the 1970s, the Stanley was on its way to shutting down for good. But then in 1974, a 27-year-old drug addict named Stephen King found himself in Boulder, Colorado for a few months.
Bender of his life.
He and his wife, Tabitha, decided to drive up into the mountains one day, and this is when they stumbled across the Stanley Hotel. So they got there like, we should stay a night here. This is a really cool, weird-looking hotel.
Yeah, we got to bury our dog somewhere. So they got this nice place next to it.
A pet cemetery, you say. Huh.
Interesting.
Pet cemetery. How do you spell that?
Four later. No, that's not how you spell it. Well, but that's how you spell it. That's fine. Oh, you have shovels. Oh, this is very convenient. This is very nice.
Let me open the trunk.
Open the trunk. Get my duffel bag.
So they're like, we should just check. Let's check in for a night. Like, this will be fun. So they go in and they try to check in, and the guy at the counter is like, oh, well, actually, sir, this is the last day of our season. So everyone is checked out. We're closing down tonight. Like, staff will be here tonight, but like tomorrow we're all gone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and they said, well, can we stay tonight anyway? Mm-hmm. And I assume the person at desk said,
maybe you didn't hear
you
me.
Are you fucking serious? Trying to see my kids for the first time since February. No. But yeah, Stephen King, of course, was serious. So they're like, yeah. All right.
He's like, okay. Do you know who I am? No. Have you ever heard of a book called It? What's the name of it?
You cannot stay here. Yeah. You have to leave. Oh, God. So the desk clerk checks them in, I assume very grudgingly. Mm-hmm. Now, all the rooms are free in the hotel, right? And this is how you know the desk clerk is pretty annoyed with old Steve. Gives him a key to his room, and it is room number 217.
Oh.
Which is a fuck you, go get haunted if I have ever heard one. So they drop their things off. Tabitha goes to bed pretty straight away, but Stephen stays up and he explores the hotel, and he's walking through the ballroom. He's walking through the grounds and everything. Mm-hmm. He's going everywhere. He's walking until really late at night, eventually makes it back to his room, and he goes into his room and he comes out pretty early. He's only in there for a few hours, and whatever happened in that room that night in the haunted room, the next morning he emerges with the entire plot of The Shining mapped out in his head.
Hmm.
And if you've read or seen The Shining, I will just note that there are a lot of our ghosts accounted for in this book. Now, Stephen King has not said that he has encountered any of these ghosts here. However, quite a few of them are in his book, and this is a hotel that he didn't know existed. And this is before research on the ghosts there was a thing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Draw your own conclusions. For example, in the book The Shining, you may notice the room with the showering woman is room 217.
Mm.
One floor has kids. That's a fun, it's a fun scene. Hey, Ryan, you want to jump in for a second? Let's talk about twins.
I already put that in the chat that, generally I find twins to be kind of creepy on their own. And the fact that we were talking about it in this setting made it even more creepy. Of course, when you first were introducing it, I didn't realize that we were talking about The Shining. Mm-hmm. So it all makes more sense now.
Yeah.
You seen The Shining, Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. How are those twins doing for you?
Not good? No, not ideal. Mm-hmm. No, not great.
You know, it's the same. It's the same person in two places. Did you know that?
Yeah. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's not supposed that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that should be allowed to happen in the world.
Yeah.
Two people should not look that much alike.
I think what Patrick's saying is it's one person.
Yeah.
Oh, in the movie.
No.
In life. Yeah. Like if that one person leaves the room and then the twin walks back in, that's two different people. Yeah. But it's the same person.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you like that?
Messed up. I don't care for that. I find it strange. It should not be a thing. It should not be a thing. Mm-hmm.
It's someone doing a quick change.
Right.
Also, I'm pretty sure that in the film, it was room 237 and not 217. I think he changed the...
I didn't say the film. I said the book. Thank you for bringing that up. Nice try.
Well,
nice try. Get fucked. Go read the book.
Jeremy, rewind and see if that was true. I don't think it's true.
Anyway, thanks for popping in, Ryan. Always a pleasure. And then, of course, the ballroom in the book and in the movie... is full of essentially the Stanleys and all their friends who are also haunting the place. So, yeah, you You be the judge. However, the success of The Shining may actually be what saved the Stanley from closing down. Visitors start flocking to the hotel to see the building that inspired the novel that became obviously a massive success. Mm-hmm. Money begins to flow. The hotel is rehabbed. It's fixed up. And mm-hmm. now it is still a very popular destination in Estes Park. Mm-hmm. It has welcomed all sorts of famos. Also has been the location of some fun movie and TV shoots, including, of course, Patrick's favorite movie,
E.T.
AFI Top 100, number one, mm-hmm. greatest movie of all time, mm-hmm. Dumb and Dumber.
Ah, it is, absolutely.
Yeah, it's the big hotel in Dumb and Dumber where they kill the owl, I believe, the great snowy owl with the champagne cork. Mm-hmm. If my Dumb and Dumber is accurate,
I'll have to go to the Dumb and Dumber Wikipedia just to make sure that's all correct. But it sounds right.
This is also where the cast and crew stayed while filming Dumb and Dumber. And guess who they put in room 217, Pat?
I'm gonna go with Jim Carrey.
That is correct. And one night, Mr. Carey apparently so scared by the ghost of 217 that he runs out of his room in his pajamas and refuses to go back until morning.
Ah, I bet it was like a very funny run, too.
I bet like it was like...
Yeah, it was very animated.
So funny.
He's I'm sure he like beats on the producer's door and is sobbing, and they're like, Jim, I don't know what this bit is. It's great. It's great. I'm telling you.
You know what? Stay yeah. like this. Keep it going. Cameras. Yeah. Make it. We gotta go yeah. right now. So let's start. Oh, by the way, as for Freeland Stanley himself, he had sort of a strange story. So after he left here, he dies in 1940 at the age of 91. He was run over by a steamroller at a construction site for a new car factory, thus becoming the very first Flat Stanley. Jeremy, that's a rim shot there, please.
You need a button or something.
I do, but I got to put them all in the same bank, because if I got to change banks, I got to do like 9 buttons to
just
get
hit
the
it,
other
just
buttons.
Hit something. Just hit something. You should have just gone straight to that one. That would have been a fantastic way to end
it. Jeremy will make it so it sounds like I did.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't have any middle school children, Flat Stanley's the whole thing. Mm. That's not true. He just died of a heart attack.
Oh, no. I was really rooting for the steamroller.
Would have been hilarious. But that is the story of the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park. Inspiration for the book. And yes, if you're like Ryan, the movie, The Shining.
Yeah. Does Ryan know that there is a book associated with it?
Or I don't think he knows what books are.
Yeah, I think he's watched his movies most of the time.
Yeah. So. To my knowledge, Ryan has not read a book.
Yeah. Stephen King, he's a famous author. Like, really famous.
I don't think Ryan knows what
Ryan.
The job author is. Hey, bud, you're still here. I thought you left.
No, I was listening. I was taking it all in, really.
Oh, the whole time, huh? Oh,
yeah.
Hey, nice to see you.
Yeah, I'm familiar that there was a book prior to there being a movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks okay. for... Yeah. Thanks.
Cool. You ever read the book Haunting of Hill House? No, he didn't know that was he's gone. He didn't know that one was a book either. So that's story though. Tell Pat, what do you think? Should we go and do a ghost hunt at the Stanley sometime?
Boy, I don't know. It seems like a lot of driving. I'm not sure about that one.
You don't have to drive all the way there. You could fly to if you fly to Denver, it's still a lot of driving.
It's a lot, yeah.
That airport is in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. I might just avoid this one.
Okay, fine. That was a fun way to end the bit. any final thoughts? Anything to share before we do the credits?
No,
credits.
That's another
word that I know how to pronounce.
I'm feeling pretty good about calling this one about 30 seconds into the episode. Feeling pretty good about that.
Were we recording that? I can't even remember.
There might I hope we were. I was. I'm sure I was recording. So yeah.
So you got the receipts. Oh man. Well, this has been another pretty fun. I'd say pretty A+ episode of Is This a Ghost? This is a production of Smith Show Media. The notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes are from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And I would not also go to this hotel, or quite frankly, any haunted hotel. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it. If someone is saying you have to come here because we're so haunted, It's either a ruse or it's real, and you're going to die. And you are going to be the subject of next week's episode of Is This a Ghost?